The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And so, calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star, for they had seen at its rising, and until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child that Mary, his mother, had given birth to, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then the Magi, having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. All right. What is Epiphany Sunday without a quick poll to start us off with? So, quick poll. Who likes surprises? Okay, so not very many of you, or you just don't like raising your hands. Different poll. Who likes to raise your hand? Okay, nobody. Good. Good. Well, there we go. Well, surprise, no sermon today. We're moving on. Just joking. Well, I suppose your love of surprises might depend on what kind of surprise it is, right? There we go. Now we got some head shaking. So if you're receiving a gift you didn't expect, that could be a pleasant surprise, depending on what you get, right? You might run into an ex that you didn't expect to see, and often that's an awkward surprise. And that advertisement that immediately pops up and begins playing on your webpage is nothing but an annoying surprise, right? Ugh, surprises. You come out of nowhere and hijack our attention. What in the world are we to do with you? Well, it's interesting because psychologists say that once we are surprised, we typically respond in one of three ways. First, we might respond to a surprise with a fight, right? We start beating that surprise into submission through control and planning. Don't surprise me already! That's our first response. Our second response might be to flee or flight, right? We hide inside ourselves in our comfort zones because we don't like the surprise. But the third option psychologists say we have is to respond with flexibility by staying curious and moving with instead of against the surprise that we have in front of us. Well, in today's gospel, we see these reactions to surprise coming alive before our very eyes. We have King Herod, who looked at the surprising arrival of the Magi and immediately began fighting. He used his knowledge of the scriptures and the observation of the Magi and his military power to attempt to kill the child called King of the Jews. For Herod, surprises threatened his power. Now, I don't have a military, though sometimes that could be helpful, but I do have this tendency to fight surprises. And many of us do. Our society makes it easy to respond to surprise with both flight and fight. We can easily Google away surprises like what the weather will be or what a restaurant menu might have in store, details about our coworkers or our dates coming up, and we might even be able to figure out everything about our next vacation spot. We strip away the surprises of the world, and then we wonder why our lives feel so blah. And when we do it, we think it's for our own benefit. We tell ourselves that the world is full of enough surprises already. Technology seems to speed along, constantly surprising us. Threats to our values and our security seem to take center stage, and the possibility of what we can do and see and be are seemingly endless. So we've mastered the skill of avoiding change, of thwarting risk, and we work to control everything, so much so that when we look in the mirror, we see Herod gazing back at us. Yet today's story does not end with a domineering king who fears surprise. There is hope in today's story. There is hope in the Magi's approach to the unexpected. You see, these men and women, yes, men and women, journeyed into the surprise. These numerous dreamers, more than the three that we think about, there's only three gifts, not three Magi, but these numerous wanderers, these people who were astrologists looking up to the sky, leaned into something new and uncharted. You see, as these Magi rode up to the King of the Jews, we saw God's universal message. And as theologian David Loos puts it, the arrival of those wandering astrologers signaled that the reach of God's embrace was broadening considerably. There was no longer insider and outsider. Instead, all were included in God's plan for salvation. All of the distinctions between people of different ethnicities and religions have now dissolved. But the real uneasy thing about this is if that happened now, what in the world might change next? And I think for us, the Magi riding up to the Holy Family might not seem like a big deal. We've heard this story year after year in church, and frankly, it's not all that surprising anymore. We know they're going to come. In fact, we rush them along so much so that we think that they arrived on the night of Jesus' birth. But Thomas Long reminds us that while many religious leaders of the time knew that Isaiah announced that all the nations would come to the Lord's mountain, few, if any, imagined that they would arrive with horoscopes and fragrant aromatics and nature religion. After all, the Hebrew Bible strongly condemns astrology. So it is a complete and utter surprise that these people, these foreigners, these Gentiles, these outsiders, these condemned astrologists, that those people would ride towards Bethlehem. Yet if we stop to think about it, it all fits with Matthew's theology. In Matthew's gospel, we find that God honored all the old commandments and promises, but fulfilled them in unimaginable ways. Remember, Matthew's gospel began by inserting five women's names into a typical male-centric genealogy. You see, Matthew is an evangelist who knew that God does not write in straight lines, but fulfills every promise with a surprise. And today in Wicker Park, God's surprise is a challenge. I wonder, are we looking for our God of surprises, or are we just stuck in the same old? Are we supporting status quo, or are we actually looking at the world with wonder and possibility? And I think that if we got rid of our need for control and for comfort, we might be surprised to find our God right there. Perhaps we might be surprised to see the gifts of our gay and lesbian and transgendered and queered siblings and what they bring to this church and the world. And maybe if we took it seriously that those non-Jewish outsiders, those magi, if we took seriously that they could point to the Christ child, then I wonder if we could see Christ's image in Muslim and Jewish and Hindu believers. And if we acknowledged that those gifts, that frankincense and myrrh and gold, that were brought by those border-crossing magi, probably allowed the Holy Family to financially be able to afford to flee from Herod's soldiers, then perhaps we would seek to give thanks for the many contributions of our border crossers in this country. And maybe, just maybe, if we upheld the truth that these dark-skinned magi were so loved by our God that they too were surprised by a warning in a dream, then maybe we too could protect our siblings of color. You see, the message of Epiphany is one of surprises. Epiphany brings to light the manifestations of God in astonishing people and places. Our God is full of surprises. And perhaps our baptismal vocation actually calls us into surprisology. That's right, the study of surprises. For as we gather here each week following Epiphany, we will hear a different reading from the book of Matthew. And as we read ahead in Matthew, we will become those surprisologists. We will be surprised when we learn that when we want to exclude, our God includes. We will be surprised to know that when we want to say, not yet, our God says, get on with it already. And we will be surprised that when we say we are not enough, our God says to you, my child, you are loved. Matthew will teach us that our God reveals God's self in surprising and unexpected ways. And in a few short moments, we'll hear from Mika. And she's going to talk to us about the work of ELCA World Hunger. And I imagine that we will be surprised at the expansive reach of the church through our gifts. And I wonder in what ways our Advent and Christmas project gifts will be the surprising presence of Christ throughout the world. Well, there it is, my friends. Our God is found in surprising places through surprising people. And I pray as we move forward with this week and this year ahead that we might embrace the flexibility of the Magi and look to be surprised by our God. I hope that we can be challenged to live into God's abundant surprises. For in that faith practice, we may be surprised to find God leading us like a star, leading us to abundant life. Amen.